always. Right on time. Hallelujah. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, who is my life, and to my pastor, Reverend Harold Stinger. I thank him for the opportunities. And to my first lady, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. To my first lady. We've been going through this process since last July. And it's been a long, tedious process. I never preached so much and answered so many questions. I felt like I was going for the presidency. But praise God that on yesterday, when they voted, the vote went well. And I tell you, I never seen a bunch of folk up in Round Hill that are excited.
All right, amen. Praise the Lord.
I want to thank Niecy. I want to thank you so much. She came out and she supported me. The Stevensons, they came and supported me when I was up there preaching. And I tell you, they came and they showed out. I said, Niecy opened the door. Lynn put the icing on the cake.
All right, now.
And then Mr. Cruz shut the door.
All right, now.
They kind of gave them a heads up of what they were getting.
Yes, sir.
And when they found out what they were getting, they were quite pleased.
All right, now. Come on, Red Smith.
So I'm thankful for the opportunity that also that I was obedient to my pastor.
Amen. Amen.
And I'll tell you right now, obedience brings blessings.
Yes, sir.
He told me, and I said, Pastor, nah. He said, I'm telling you, this is what you need to do. And I was obedient to him to the very last word that he told me what to do. You know, yesterday when we got the call that my chairman of the deacon board, I can say that now.
All right now.
My chairman of the deacon board, he called me and told me, how you doing, Pastor? I missed it the first time around. But then the second time around, I got it. And it's kind of bittersweet. Because I love First Mount Olive.
Love you too.
I love you, and I've served you for almost 9 years as your assistant pastor. But now it's a transitioning period.
Come on, sir.
Me and Brookie are transitioning to another level in ministry. And it's a level of ministry that carries a lot of responsibility.
Come on, sir.
But to whom much is given,
yes, sir,
much is required.
Amen.
And you just can't go into this thing haphazardly. You have to go into this thing with much prayer and much fasting.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for what God is about to do up in Round Hill.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, I've never seen a bunch of folk that they love to sing and shout up there. So we are excited as we step off into this new venture as of come next Sunday. I take control of the pulpit, and I told them, we're about to take a journey. We're about to write a new chapter in the history of the church.
Amen.
And I asked the church, how do you want to write the new chapter?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to be like Jesus told Judas, that what you have to do it quickly. And so we're going to do it quickly.
Amen.
Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles, I was so grateful that Sister Samuel, she read it earlier, but I just want to touch on it again. Philippians, the second chapter. And the Word of God reads, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. Let each of you look out not for your own interests, but also the interests of others. But I like that fifth verse. It says, let this mind.
Yes, sir.
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Most holy and true and wise God, our Father, we love you. We praise you. We bless you, Father, for this opportunity and for this time. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask that you let this man decrease.
Yeah.
And I pray for your Holy Spirit to increase, that Father, not Adrian would stand before these are people, but Father, the Christ that is in me. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would just breathe even right now in the sweet name of Jesus, oh God. Let a fresh wind blow, Father, within this place, oh God. That your Holy Ghost, Father, would fill this place, oh God, in the name of Jesus. That when it's all said and done, Lord, you get the glory, you get the honor, and you get the praise. Now unto him who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb be all blessings, glory, and power forever and ever. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. If you don't mind, First Mile Olive, I want to speak briefly on the subject, the United Way.
Okay.
The United Way. When I mention the United Way, what immediately comes to mind? I can surmise that what comes to your mind is an organization that is engaged in nearly 18,000 communities across more than 40 countries and territories worldwide. This organization is focused on creating a community-based, led solutions that strengthen the cornerstone for good quality of life, education, financial stability, and health. If you were to peruse the United Way's website, you would discover these four points: our impact, our mission, our focus, our work. The operative word here is our. Simply put, the United Way has unified to make an impact in the community which they reside. Unified to accomplish the mission to those they serve. Unified to focus on the purpose for the community. Unified to complete the work set before them. As this organization is unified and determined to make a difference, so should the church. But oftentimes, we as a church get off focus, off mission, miss opportunities to make an impact in the lives of others. We fail as a church to accomplish the work that was mandated by our Lord and Savior in Matthew 28:19-20. Go and make disciples.
All right.
When all these negative elements exist in the church body, there is no impact in the local community, in the county, or region. The church at one point was a symbol of unity and a place of hope.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, we the church have allowed the world to creep in and set up shop. We are called to be world changers, not world chasers. In our text this morning, Paul reveals that the true unity and humility occurs when the body of Christ recognizes and appropriates her identity in Christ. Paul urges them with the word, therefore. This marks the shift of the subject of the church's struggle from external enemies in chapter 1 to the equally threat problem that is internal, which is division. In other words, Paul's focus moves from without to within.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that it is a little value to be unified against opposition from without, but then fail to be unified within, because a house divided can't stand.
Right.
Dr. Leonard Smith said this. He made this point. He said, it is so hard to overcome your enemies when defending yourself against Christians is occupying most of your time.
Uh-huh.
Unity is critical to the survival and mission of the life in the body of the church. Unity also expresses the theme in Philippians to live as heavenly citizens worthy of the gospel of Christ in verse 27 in chapter 1. If we're going to be a church of unity, we need to walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 12, the 12th chapter, 1 through the 2nd verse. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and snares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and he is set at the right hand of the throne of glory. What I'm trying to tell you this morning, First Mount Olive, a unified church is a powerful church. A unified church is a forgiving church. A unified church is a loving church. A unified church is a faithful church. A unified church is a praying church. A unified church is a praising church. A unified church is focused on worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. A unified church is a spirit-filled church. In Acts, in the book of Acts, we find that the church in the book of Acts was on one accord. Know how I know? Because if you read in Acts, the first chapter, 14th verse, they prayed with great faith. In Acts, the second chapter, first verse, they preached with great power. In Acts, the second chapter, 41st or 46th verse, they enjoyed great fellowship. And in Acts 2:47, they experienced great growth. Paul challenges this Philippian church to be on one accord. If you find it in verse 1, he lays it out. He says, if there's any consolation or encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, any fellowship of spirit, if you have any affection of mercy, this tiny Greek word, if, is not an expression of doubt. In essence, Paul is saying, since you have all these things, you should have unity in the body. Since you have all these things, there shouldn't be bickering and biting amongst the brethren. There shouldn't be any sense of entitlement. Since you have all these things, you should bear the worship one with another. Since there is so much encouragement in Christ, his love is so tremendous and persuasive. Since the Holy Spirit brings us all together in such a wonderful fellowship. Since there is so much tender affection and mercy in Christianity. Since there's so much happy harmony with one another, we should be able to get along. Paul is assuming that certainty of each of these descriptions. He's saying, if this is true and I know it. Did y'all get that? He said, if this is true and I know it, then I'm optimistic enough to assume that my brothers and my sisters who are in the household of faith should govern ourselves accordingly as believers in Christ. That's just like if you took Master Life. If you took Master Life, I shouldn't have to question. You know what it means to be a disciple.
All right.
Am I right about it?
Yes, sir.
You should know. You should know you got to what? Spend time with the Master.
Yes, sir.
You got to what? Live in the Word.
Yeah.
You got to what? Pray in faith.
Mm-hmm.
You got to what? Fellowship. Come on here.
Amen.
Then you got to evangelize to the world. If this is true, and I know it, most of you should be able to share what it means to be a disciple in the body of Christ. But knowing to share, you should be able to live it out. We're going to get to that point. Just put a pin right there. Since this is true, I expect we should strive to promote harmony and unity in the fellowship. My brothers and sisters, Have you ever looked at what God is doing in your life? He's moving you on his agenda. We have to be about moving people towards what God wants us to do, but not what man wants us to do.
Come on.
If you're going to talk the talk, then walk the walk.
Right now.
But there's a problem in the church. I
said there's a problem. Come on, preacher.
In the church. The problem many churches face in this day and age is too many professing Christians are exhibiting ungodly character. No one should have to correct you when you know you're doing wrong. You should be able to correct yourself because you are 100% responsible for your own actions. I'm a firm believer that character determines conduct. Henry Blackaby, in his book, The Power of the Call, wrote this. He said, the Christian life does not depend on your ability to act right, but to be right. You may kid the world, but you will not fool yourself or God. Am I right about it?
Amen.
If the church is going to be effective witness in the world we live in, it is of the utmost importance that we represent Christ in every aspect of our lives, inside and outside the church. It is far more powerful to live the truth than to talk about it. Colossians, the first chapter and 10th verse says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bear fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. Famed writer Maya Angelou said this, do the best you can till you know better. And then when you know better, do better. Well, I wish many would do better. But yet, we struggle in the body of Christ. You see, Judas had the best pastor, the best leader, the best teacher, and the wisest man alive, and the best friend anyone could ask for.
Yes, sir.
He failed.
Uh-huh.
Did he fail?
Yeah.
If you're going to be united in the body of Christ, it is imperative that our conduct and our character be above reproach. It was once said, change is an inevitable, but personal growth is a choice. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Romans 12:2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Paul said in Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Saints of old would say something on the inside.
Well,
working yes, on the outside.
Well, right now.
Brought about a change in my life.
Well,
I don't know if I got any change, folks, in the house this morning.
Come on.
Has God changed your life? Has he did something new in your life this morning? You're not what you used to be. Thank God you're not what you used to be. But you are a new creation in Christ. Change. This change can only happen when we get more of God's word on the inside of us. Many read the word of God, but how many of us actually apply the word of God to our lives daily? 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. James 1:22 admonishes us, don't merely listen to what the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it
says. Amen.
Y'all, come on, it's not going to get no better. Y'all, come on, it's not going to get no better. But we know, well-known Christian speaker David Allen Campbell said this, it doesn't matter if you can quote the Bible. If you live like you never opened it up. a godly man or woman does so much more than saying they're a Christian. Praying on occasions and going to church. Their deepest desire and peer to pursue God with a heart and live a life that is pleasing to him. My brothers and my sisters, let pleasing God be bigger than pleasing people.
Amen. Amen. Say it.
You can't. You can't be in the house of the Lord and you focus on pleasing people.
Yes, sir.
Your focus has to be on pleasing God.
Amen. Amen.
When you focus on pleasing people, you got your reward.
Come on, sir.
But I want my reward.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want my reward to be in heaven.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When it all said and done,
yes, sir.
I want them to say, well done.
Well done.
My good. I said my good.
Yeah.
I said my good and faithful servant. As I continue on with this little message, the united way, Paul gives four commands to the Philippian church on unity, and it is in verse 2. It's right in verse 2.
If you read
in verse 2, you will find this. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But we're gonna dissect it anyway. He says, fulfill my joy.
Yeah.
This can also be translated, make my joy complete. Paul's joy was tied to the concerns and unity of the believers. But then he says, be like-minded. Mm-hmm. This Greek word right here says, think the same way or having the same mind of Christ. This exhortation is not optional or obscure, but it is repeated throughout the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
To see things as Christ would see them. To respond to things as Christ would respond. Then he says, having the same love. As believers, we are to love others in the body. Of Christ equally.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Equally. Be no respecter of person.
Well,
it doesn't matter what job you have.
Come on, sir.
But if you're in the body of Christ, you should love them anyway.
Amen. Amen.
Well, he says, be genuine. Genuine love in the church is not just a feeling. You know, we all have feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a feeling. Because if it was, a lot of us be out of here now.
Oh, my God. Yes, sir.
If it was a feeling, when you get your feelings hurt.
Amen. Amen.
Huh?
Tell the truth.
Y'all, I tell you, I might as well go and say amen. When you get your feelings hurt in the church, it makes you not want to come to church.
Well,
why should I come to church and get my feelings hurt
where
I can go out in the world and get them hurt all over again?
Amen.
But when I should come to church, and the church should be a hospital for the hurting,
come on, sir. For the wounded, yes,
for the troubled-minded, for the broken down. I shouldn't have to come to church and worry about someone speaking to me in a mean way.
Yes, sir.
Or not speaking to me in a mean way. Or I don't get your hallelujah when I preach. You know what? You can't sit before me when you preach. But that's all right.
That's all right.
But if we're going to be who we say we're going to be, we have to be genuine in what we do. Well, I'm moving on. Pastor John Hagee, he put it this way. He said, love is not what you say.
All right now.
Love is what you do.
Amen.
1 John 3:18 tells us, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Well,
Paul continues on saying, be of one accord. What he's saying here, he's saying, be united in the spirit, knitted together. Knitted together in harmony. And in love, having the same desire, the same passion, and the same ambition. But then he goes on to say, of one mind. In other words, he's saying, of intended on one purpose. to glorify God, to bring glory to his name. Jesus tells us in Matthew 16, let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, what I do, I don't do for you.
That's right.
I don't do for you.
That's right.
I do it because of Christ that's in me.
All right, now.
I do it to give him glory and honor.
Yeah.
I do it because he died for me.
Yes,
I do it because he shed his blood for me. I do it because he got up for me.
Yes,
I do it because I got a right to eternal life.
Yes,
I do it because he's been good.
Yes.
He's been good.
Yes.
I say he's been good.
Yes.
Has he been good to you?
Yes.
You better say so.
Yes.
Has God been good to you? Well, I got to move on. I said I won't go hold you long. My brothers and my sisters, a godly life gives convincing testimony of the saving power of God that brings him glory. Don't shine so others can see you. Shine so that through you, others can see Christ.
Amen.
The secret, the secret to unity begins when we view ourselves within the body and how we view others in the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the text. Y'all got verse 3?
Amen.
Let nothing be done for selfish ambition or conceit.
Amen.
Did y'all get that?
Yes, sir.
I think I'll be say that again. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Selfish ambition and conceit are the two greatest enemies of unity among the people of God.
Amen.
Selfish ambition is a desire to be number one no matter the cost. Conceit speaks of pride and or self-display. It's all about me, and I have to put on the show because it's all about me and not about you. Well, where you find people who are interested in gathering a clique around themselves or promoting their own interests, there you will find a seed of contention and strife.
My Lord.
I told y'all. Ending in selfish ambition and giving the church, in order to give the church new life, we have to take the focus of ourselves.
That's right. Amen.
1 Corinthians 3:3 speaks of envy and division and carnality.
Mm-hmm.
James 3:14-16 reminds us that the harbor of bitter envy and selfish ambition is a heart such wisdom comes from Satan. John 3:16 says, for where you have in James 3:16 says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. Service is to glorify the servant is worthless. All work in the church should be done to glorify God and God alone.
Amen.
Colossians 3:23 encourages us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance. I'm working on an inheritance.
Yes, sir.
I got some rewards I want to. I got some gifts I want to get. There's a crown waiting for me from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. How desperately our world is in need of Christian men and women in the church who are willing to honor God with their praise, their worship, their prayer, and their service.
Well,
because it's not about us.
That's right.
But it's about Jesus.
All about
it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about your money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about your fame.
Yes, sir.
It's not about your titles.
Well,
but it's about Jesus.
About Jesus.
It's all about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing unto God.
Yes, sir.
Everything we are, everything we will ever be, we lay it all down at Jesus' feet.
Yes, sir.
If unity is going to be our goal in a household of faith, our attitude needs to move from self-centered to Christ-centered.
All right, man.
Amen. Well, first of all, I'm talking about the united way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so grateful Paul gives us a remedy to the previous verses. Yeah, to the previous verses. He gives us a remedy. He said, but in lowly of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself.
Well,
let each of you look not on your own interests, but the interests of others.
Well,
lowliness of mind, what Paul is talking about here is humility.
Yes, sir.
Did y'all get that word? Humility. The Bible describes humility as meekness, lowliness, and absence of self.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek word translated humility in Colossians 3:12 and elsewhere in literature in the lowliness of mind, where it's saying humility is a heart attitude, not merely an outward demeanor. One may put on an outward show of humility, but still have a heart full of pride and arrogance. We have to be more careful that we live what we believe.
Uh-huh.
We have to be more careful that we just don't do it for a show.
All right now.
But we do it out of the sincerity of our hearts. Jesus said this, who are poor in spirit, you would have the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Being poor in spirit means only those who admit to absolute bankruptcy and spiritual unworthiness will inherit into eternal life. In other words, I came to Jesus just
yes,
as
sir.
I was.
Yes, sir.
Weary,
broken,
wounded,
yes, sir.
And sad.
Well,
did I have any wounded and sad people in the house? Because you didn't come to God all put together.
Yes, sir.
You came with some stuff.
Yes,
you came with some baggage.
Yes,
and guess what? God loved you through your stuff.
Yeah,
he loved you through your lying, your cheating, your backbiting, your bitterness, your hateful act. He loved you.
Thank you.
I'm so glad.
Well,
I got good religion. My feet been taken
out
the miry clay.
Well,
when we come to Christ as sinners, we come in humility because we know we didn't. It wasn't us who got us into salvation.
Uh-huh.
We come like paupers and beggars, and we come with nothing to offer Him but our sins and our need for salvation.
Yes, sir.
We all need a Savior.
Come on, sir.
I'm a witness.
Yes,
we all need a Savior.
Well,
we acknowledge, we recognize our lack of merit and our complete inability to save ourselves. Then when He offers grace and mercy of God, we accept His humble gratitude and commit our lives to Him and to others. We die to self. We die to self so that we can live as new creations in Christ.
Well,
we never forget that He exchanged our worthiness for His infinite worth.
Mm-hmm.
Our sins for His righteousness. And then the life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Then He says, let each esteem others better than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is our model.
Mm-hmm.
Just as He did. He came to serve and not to be served.
Yeah, that's right.
We must commit ourselves to serving others in loneliness of mind, always considering others better than ourselves.
Well,
this attitude precludes the selfish ambition, conceit, and strife that comes with self-justification and self-defense. The truly humble does not defend himself when falsely accused or unjustly treated. He defends the truth, but not in his own ego or reputation.
Mm.
Jesus was not ashamed to humble himself as a servant, even to the death on the cross. In his humility, he was always obedient to the Father, so he should be humble, so we should be humble, as Christ was humble before the Father. Amen. Submit ourselves to God in obedience to his will, to his word, and to his way. True humility, my brothers and sisters, produces godliness, content, and security. Then he says, look out for the interests of others. Jesus was the epitome of servanthood. In John 13, 34, he says, shortly after washing his disciples' feet, something unusual was done for the lowliest servant. Jesus said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Amen. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Right. Master life, people.
Yes, sir.
Master life, people.
All right.
Master life, people.
All right. All right.
By this, all men will know that you are God's disciples.
Well.
Because you've learned what it means to be a disciple.
Well.
You learn what it means to be a servant.
Yes, sir.
You learn what it means to sacrifice.
Oh,
you learn what it means to give God your all. Matthew 20:28, Jesus acted for the best of others rather than his own glory. True humility will always look out for the interests of others. But then, this covers the first four verses. And everybody wants to get to the fifth verse.
All right now.
He says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Well, when you think about the mind of Christ, I think about what he did on our behalf.
Yes, sir.
You see, he got off his throne and he sat down on his footstool.
Come on, sir.
He came down 40 in two generations.
Well.
He was born in Bethlehem,
yes, sir.
Reared in Nazareth.
Well.
He did miracles in a desert place.
Yeah.
He made the lame to walk.
Yes, sir.
He made the blind eye to see. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus who raised the dead,
yes,
turned water into wine. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus who walked on water. Jesus on one Friday went to a place called Golgotha. And he died. Didn't he die?
He died.
But early, I said early.
Early,
I said early, one Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. I'm so thankful that he got up for me. I'm talking about the united way. I'm united in Christ because I'm covered in his blood. I'm united in Christ because I'm adopted into his family. I said I'm united in Christ because God loves me. I said he loves me. And he loves you too. Because if he didn't love you, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. I'm talking about the united way. If we, the church, is going to make an impact in the world, we got to get rid of all the pettiness, all the foolishness. Thinking that you're entitled to something. Thinking that you're owed something. No, 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 no. All that what you do for the glory of God. All that what you do, he gets the glory. He gets the honor. And he gets the praise. Say it.
Yes.
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 The united. 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 The united way. You see, I'm too much like my daddy. And one thing about my father is that he didn't put up with foolishness in the church. We working on borrowed time.
Well,
And we don't have time for bickering and pointing fingers and who did this and who did what and arguing over whose pew you bought and whose brick is in the building. But we need to get our focus on God. See, I know that someone, I was told, well, you got to do your last sermon and you're going to let them have it. No, I'm not letting you have it. I could. I mean, trust me. 9 years. I've been through some stuff. 9 years. I've had to endure some things. But through these 9 years, I loved First My Olive.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Even though I was mistreated sometimes,
right,
I loved First My Olive. Because God had a lesson for me to learn when I came here.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I had a good teacher. You see, I'm very observant. And God sent me here for a reason. Because I had to learn how to love folks, even when they didn't love me. I had to learn to love folks when they mistreated me. I had to learn to love folks when they labeled me the wrong way. But I'm so thankful I had a good mentor. Because God wouldn't let me go until I learned my lesson. And guess what? I learned my lesson. Because guess what? Promotion only comes from the Lord. And when God promotes you, no matter what man says, no matter what man does, God. He gets the glory.
Amen.
I have it. But I gave you some tools. Because First My Olive, if you're ever going to move forward, you got to put aside the pettiness.
My Lord.
Some of you have been in the church too long. And you still stuck on Psalms 23.
Oh, come on,
when you should have graduated to, I've been crucified with Christ.
Yes,
some of you are still sitting in the pews when God gave you your marching orders to go.
Yes, sir.
Some of you are still sitting in the pews, sitting in the pulpit, just waiting for an opportunity. No, opportunity doesn't come to you. You need to go to opportunities.
All right now, amen.
We understand that incredible sacrifice and grace and mercy of God is on our behalf. We realize that we have no sense of pride. We recognize God has abundant grace, provision, and love. We understand that we have no need of selfishness. When we need not focus solely on our own interests, but on the interests of others, just like our Savior.
Amen.
We have been adopted into the eternal family.
And
we can learn to love that family as the Father loves us.
Amen.
Rather than be motivated by selfish pride, we can be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord with fellow believers, and put their interests before our own. Church, if we are going to be unified in the body of Christ, our unity should be like that which existed between God and Christ. Jesus said, I and the Father are what? One. If we know this, then we can praise, worship, and serve in a united way. Stand. to your feet. And this is something serious. And I learned my lesson well. Because in ministry, you got to have a tough hide mm-hmm. and a tender heart.
Yes, sir.
And you can't get them confused. You got a tough hide and a tender heart.
Yes, he does.
And I learned my lesson well. Whatever God has in store for me, I'm able to handle it because God is with me.
Amen.
I know he's going before me and he's prepared. Yes, will it be easy? No. There's a lot of work to do. But guess what? I'm a fool for Christ.
Amen.
And I know God, I know he's going to work it out.
Yes,
but if you're here today and you don't believe, because the Bible tells us to believe. If you're here today, and if you believe that God, that Jesus died for your sins, today would be a good day to start anew. If you believe that God raised him from the dead, and that he is the Son of God, today is a new day for you. The Bible tells you to believe. Is there one? Is there one? Don't leave here the same way you came in. Let today be a beginning of a new day for you. Is there one? Is there one? If you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a church home, trust me, come on to First Mile Olive. Amen.
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 Amen. There's so much work for here for you to do. And put your gifts and talents. Don't just sit in the pews, but put your gift and your talents to work. Is there one? Is there one? Amen. I guess we all good, right? We all good? Give God a praise.
God meant for Reverend Smith to have this opportunity as he is about to go into the pastorate at Round Hill. You know, on Fridays and Saturdays, I find quiet time where I prepare. Even though I may have been preparing for weeks for a message, Friday and Saturday at this special time, I just have to spend some quiet time. Sometimes, even on Sunday, I'm still spending quiet time preparing for the message. Well, on yesterday, after a very busy Friday, where I would have spent some quiet time, and then yesterday there was a funeral and then a wedding that I went to, and somehow it seemed like I didn't get my quiet time. So between the wedding and the reception, I told Barb, I'm going to go sit in the car for just a little while. Need some quiet time to prepare. And while I was there, I got a text from Reverend Smith saying that he wasn't going to be, even though I knew already he was going to be pastoring up in Round Hill, he said he wasn't going to be going there today. He'd be here at church. And I considered that to be a message from God telling me that I should give him this opportunity. Stop trying to find my quiet time. Go ahead and go back into the reception and get some lemonade. And know that the word was going to come with power from somebody I know would love to have, wanted to have this opportunity. The last day that he's a part of the pastorate here at First Mount Olive. So God used him today.
Yes,
And I'm glad that God told me what God told me to do. And I'm glad I got the rest. But God has blessed us by having Reverend Smith to be a part of us for all this time. And I hesitate to say that because he's still a part of us. The connection is strong and will continue to be there. Round Hill and First Mile Olive have always had a strong connection, but I believe it's going to continue to grow stronger and stronger now that Reverend Smith is there. I'm so glad that he came this way. I'm so glad he went through here to prepare himself for, or God used this place to help to prepare him for where he is now. He's a good son, someone I've come to know and love, and all of us have come to know and love. So now we're ready to thank God again for you. Thank God for the word that you brought. Thank God for using you the way that he did on this day and for the 9 years that you've been here. God bless you. My love. If any right there out here in the congregation really loves Reverend Smith, I'd like you to go and just stand up and let him know it by applauding. Come on, my brother. We're ready to go down from this place. Grace, God's amazing grace and peace be yours from the throne of God and from those seven spirits that St. John saw in front of the throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness who loved us so that he died, he freed us from our sins and made us kings and priests to serve his God and his Father. To him be the power, to him be the glory, now henceforth and forevermore. Let the church say amen. Let the whole church say amen. Our God has spoken. God has spoken. Amen. 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 I had an announcement here. I thought I actually heard this earlier, but the Missionary Society is going to have a prayer breakfast on Saturday, May 6th, from 9 to 12 o'clock. I thought that was in the announcement. I thought I heard that before. But at any rate, now you know it, whether you knew it before or not. Missionary Society, 9 to noon on the 6th of May. God bless you all. I know, again, this was announced, but maybe I should reiterate and remind you, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is church meeting. Everybody needs to be there. God bless.